In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In sonnets from the Portuguese, Elizabeth Browning wrote that God's gifts put man's best dreams to shame. A notable statement, I like St. Paul better. And what he wrote to the Ephesians at the end of chapter 3, and this is in the rendering of the New American Bible, he whose power is now at work in us can do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. And that is our textual word. It shall always be true that God grants gifts which far surpass our expectations. That is precisely what King Solomon experienced as a relatively young man. God asked him one evening, "What would you like for me to do for you? Ask me, and I shall do it." And Solomon replied, "I am only a youth." Probably he was about 20 years of age. And he said, "You have put me in the midst of such a great people. You are continuing the reign of my father David in a sense. And I do not feel all that competent or qualified to be the king of your people. Give me wisdom. Give me discernment. Give me the gift to be able to lead your people properly." And Solomon would have settled for that, but God didn't. And he said, "I not only will make you so wise, there will have been none prior to you as wise as you, but none following you shall be as superb in wisdom as you shall be. And what's more, because you did not ask me for those other things, I will make you rich beyond dreams. I will give you untold glory. And if you follow my statutes and commandments, I will additionally grant you a long life." And of course, God always keeps his word. And he kept his word to Solomon. God's gifts always surpass our best expectations. That is precisely what the lame man, lame for all those years since his birth, sitting daily at the beautiful gate of the temple in Jerusalem, begging. I personally cannot think of anything much more demeaning or dehumanizing or denigrating than to have to sit and beg from people. It is an utterly repellent thought to me. And that poor man did that every day of his life. He has a limited vision, and his hope comes in minimal measure. All he can see is enough money to get through the day. And so on seeing Peter and John coming toward the temple, his expectancy is couched in the limitation of his vision. He says, in effect, "Do you have some money to share with me?" God always gives more than we can ask or think. And Simon said to him, "I don't have any gold, I don't have any silver, but such as I have, I freely give to you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Arise and walk." And there is a beautiful progression of activity which this man experienced. He jumped up right away, and he stands there and maybe stomps around a bit as if to test the whole thing out. He walks around a little bit, and the first thing you know, he's in the temple, he's walking about, and then he's leaping and jumping around for joy and praising God at the top of his voice. Something he never expected. He would have been willing to settle for a handout. And God gave him immeasurably more. We see the quintessential nature of all of this in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's always Jesus' style, to give immeasurably more than we can ask or think. It was said to him one day, "They're out of wine." It's a deplorable situation. And Jesus did not say, How much can we get by with? What's the minimal requirement of the day? As he gave directions a little later and they were followed out, how much was it? 100 gallons? 120 gallons of wine, possibly. The Lord provided in the magnanimity of his gift to those people. There was a fishing occasion when certain men had fished all night and caught nothing. And Jesus would help them in their labor. And how many fish did he supply? Just enough to salvage a bad night's abortive effort? Not at all. The nets began to break, and two boats were filled to the point they almost began to sink. Another day he fed people, thousands of them. And it wasn't just a snack. It wasn't just a little refreshment treat. They were all satisfied. And they looked around, and they could gather up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. He always gives beyond our expectations. One day he stood down near Bethany. He talked with a saddened, heartbroken sister whose brother had been dead for 4 days. And the Lord said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And she said, "I know that. I do know that. He shall be raised from the dead on the last day." You see what Martha's willing to settle for? That sometime in the expectancy of some future glory, we shall be raised in the glory of our God. "I'll settle for that," she much as says. And the Lord has a different idea, a little added gift. And he says to her, and I think it's remarkable these words were said to Martha, first of all, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And shortly thereafter, the brother Lazarus was raised, but not in some distant day of eternity, but that very day upon which Christ spoke to her. And the Lord always provides in such a measure of generosity. On Easter morning, Mary Magdalene, through her tear-filled eyes, she saw an empty tomb. And she turned around, she saw someone standing there she thought was a gardener. And she was going to settle for something. She said, "If you'll just tell me where his body is, I'll take care of it. That's all I want now, is just to take care of the body." And that glorious figure said, "Mary." And she recognized him then. And Christ gave her his risen self. And that same afternoon, as he walked away to Emmaus with Cleopas and his friend, Cleopas and his friend were certainly aware of the fact that they had a tremendous scriptural scholar in their company. He told them more things about predictive Old Testament prophecy than they ever knew. He was almost a specialist in this kind of knowledge. And they were willing to spend further time with such a remarkable new acquaintance. And they said to him, "The day's almost gone. Won't you come in and spend the evening with us?" And that's what they wanted, to share more of a newfound friend who was so wise in the scriptures of God. It was later, at the table, the Lord disclosed his real identity, and they received immeasurably more than they could ask or think. Do you really think the situation has changed? Of course not. The same God enriches our lives today who did all those things that we have elicited from the holy pages of Scripture. And we come to him today in the Holy Sacrament. We say, "Lord, I am a sinner. I need your forgiveness." And our Savior doesn't say, "How much can you get by with? What's the minimal need that you stand in need of today?" It's just there, total, full, complete, absolute. Everything is done away. Receiving the very price of our ransom, our Lord's true body and blood. We come to him in our faith and we say, "Lord, it's a miserable thing. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Help this puny little thing that I have." And the Lord endows us richly, and We are his people who go out not only to live life, but to cope with life and to live life victoriously. And we are the people who in our more sanctified and sane moments we can say, as Paul said, that he who fills me with his dynamic power has made me able to cope with any situation, in the wording of William Barclay. That's what he does to our faith and to our life. And we say, Lord, here's the life, such as it comes from you, an exquisite gift. I would use it in your kingdom. And that's what you young men are saying to him in this hour. Some of you, I would suppose, going out under call, you will soon be a graduate from this great institution. Others of you going out for a year of vicarage. Others coming back in the uncertainty of another year at the seminary. That is your own personal uncertainty of coping and living and that sort of thing. And you look out there and you're saying, Lord, how will I ever make it? There are so many things that seem insurmountable. There are so many obstacles in the way. I know they're blessings, but Lord, the problems are so immense. And God hears you cry out, and God has a word for you. And that word, wherever you go and whatever you do, and this is what he says to you for this hour and all time to come. He whose power is now at work in us can do immeasurably more than we ask or think. May you always recall that word and keep it wisely. Amen.